I'm not surprised, not everything lasts. I've broken my heart so many times I stopped keeping track. Talk myself in, I talk myself out. I get all worked up, then I let myself down. I tried so very hard not to lose it. I came up with a million excuses. I thought of every possibility. And I know someday that it'll all turn out. You'll make me work so we can work to work it out. And I promise you, kid, that I'll give so much more than I get. I just haven't met you yet.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Love in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Marnie Gallison, and I'm so excited to introduce our very special guest today. But before that, I do that, I just want to let our listeners know who may be tuning in for the first time that I am a professional matchmaker here in New York. Please feel free to go to my website, sundayatnoon.com, and of course, feel free to go to my fan page on Facebook, Marnie Gallison, NYC Matchmaker, and you can learn all about the things I have in store for 2012, the blogs I write, the other radio programs I have in store, and of course, the events that I throw and what I do, which is setting up wonderful single professionals in Manhattan to help them find love. For most of you who may know, our guest today requires really no introduction. That being said, I'm going to do it because it's my job, and he certainly earned it. We have author John Gray on our program today. Now, of course, most people know him from his very famous Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus book written in 1992, which is actually being re-released in a very special paperback edition to celebrate its 20th anniversary. And some of you may know this is the best-selling relationship book of all time. It has sold, I think I read, over 50 million copies since its publication. So a lot of copies, a lot of readers. It's been translated in over 40 languages. But in addition to writing Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, John Gray has written 16 other best-selling books. He has appeared on Oprah, Dr. Oz, The Today Show, Good Morning America, the list goes on. He has been featured in so many magazines, it would take the whole hour to just go through all his accolades. So you get the picture. He is an expert in his field, and it is a great honor to have him on our show today. So thank you so much, John, for coming on today, and we're excited to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's a real pleasure.
Well, there's so many questions I have for you, and unfortunately, we do only have an hour. So I'm going to try and hit the heart of the questions I know, and I know my listeners would love to know. When I told people that you were coming on my show today, I had people tell me how your book had changed their lives, how they had seen you lecture, and they just found your advice so illuminating. I even had a friend tell me she bought a Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus board game. So everybody knows who you are, and they all had such amazing stories about how you've changed their lives. So my first question to you is, when you wrote Men Are From Mars back 20 years ago, did you have any idea that you were about to publish something that would be so huge and really life-changing?
I thought I hopefully would have a bestseller because my message, I'd been teaching it for 10 years, and people said, you have to put in a book. But I could not have imagined all that followed with the enormous sales and the continuation of the message.
And really a legacy that you have of helping so many people salvage their marriages or get married and even just reap more satisfaction from their relationships. And that's something I wonder if you realized 20 years ago that you would have this legacy of all of these self-help books that are helping people understand the opposite sex. Could you have ever imagined where you'd be right now?
No, I could not have imagined it at all.
When I read one of your interviews, I saw the original title when you were self-published was Women and Men in Relationships, I believe.
Men, Women, and Relationships.
Men, yes. Women, and Relationships. Can you tell our listeners the story of how you chose the title, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? Because I think they'd be interested to hear how that was generated.
Well, long before I wrote Men, Women, and Relationships, actually when I wrote that book, it was the precursor to Men Are From Mars. Publishers just wouldn't use the title, and even when the second time I rewrote the book in a simpler form as Men Are From Mars, even still the publishers didn't want the title, and I insisted I wouldn't go with the publisher the second time unless they took the title, because I love the title, and it I had developed the idea back in 8 years before I wrote the book. E.T., the movie E.T. had come out, and I was giving a talk in one of my seminars on gender differences, helping women and men understanding each other. Back in those days, if you explained that men and women were different, there was a lot of tension for some people. It was very politically incorrect. It was at a time where, rightly so, women were looking for equality of respect in the workplace. But it hadn't yet clearly understood that equality doesn't mean that we're all the same, that we need equal respect and equal opportunity, but we need to understand, if we're going to communicate better and have a fair workplace, that people are different and we need to honor those differences. So that was not easily understood back then. Today it's more accepted by most people. There's still some people have a difficult time with it. They say, you know, if you're talking about different, if you want better relationships, why do you focus on the differences? And to me the answer is obvious, which is when we have relationships, the challenges occur when there's differences that aren't understood. If we were all just the same, not only would we all be vanilla and boring, but there certainly wouldn't be any conflict because we're all just the same. We'd understand each other all the time. Anyway, having said all that, I was trying to look for a way to make the message easier for people to take, you know, make some jokes, lighten it up, and so forth. And I kept trying to find a way to talk about our differences in a fun way. And I'd just seen the movie E.T., and I was giving a talk on gender differences and relationship. And I said to the women in the audience, I said, just imagine your husband's E.T. And they all just laughed. They all laughed. And I was making the point that in the movie, E.T. eats the little chocolates. You wouldn't presume to tell E.T. not to eat those chocolates. He knows what's best for him. He's a different physiology and so forth. But even before I could make that point, I just said, imagine your husband's E.T., they all laughed and laughed, and one woman said, well, where's my husband from? And I said, Mars, just off the tip of my tongue. And so much laughter and fun. I said, this is it. My prayer was answered. I found a way to talk about our differences so we don't feel criticized or judged or as though one side is less than the other. But it's really like we're from different planets. We're all wonderful. It's just that we have different customs, different manners, different rules, different language, different words, different meanings, different needs, different ways of reacting. And what's fun for me now, you know, I keep teaching this message, and I guess if I was teaching the same ideas over and over, it'd be boring for me. but, you know, times have changed, and as times have changed, the message, I apply that same insight I gained from 10 years of therapy with people, counseling women every day, to understand how men and women really think and feel differently. And the world has changed a lot since I wrote Men Are From Mars, so updating that material has been fun for me. And, you know, every few years, I write something on dating, for example, or sex, and I write something on parenting and marriage and, you know, all the basic areas. And then now I'm focusing on nutrition for, you know, health and wellness for men and women because, you know, I spent my life focused on gender differences.
Well, and actually, I did see, for our listeners, John is very up in the know on social media. You have a Facebook page. I saw a personal Facebook page. And then, of course, the official John Gray Mars Venus fan page. And also on Twitter, the tweet says Mars Venus John Gray. And I saw that someone asked you about updating it. And I saw that you said you were working on updating Mars and Venus to make it, you know, for 2012. Would that be then I know you're releasing it for its 20th anniversary, but would that be back to the heart of the book, but updated, or what exactly are you working on to kind of bring it into modern 2012 issues?
Well, I have written a book called Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice.
Right.
And that does pretty much update the book, but it doesn't go over all the points in the book. And right now I'm working as well on a revised Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which covers every point I make in the original book. But I update it from the point of view of how science and research has validated all these ideas. It won't just be, you know, footnotes, but
sure.
It actually explains. For example, when I explain that women have a different emotional reaction to men, now I'll be able to say recent brain research where they can measure blood flow in the brain shows that when a woman is moderately stressed or a man is moderately stressed, their brains respond differently, and that there's eight times, in a woman, there's eight times more blood flow to the emotional part of the brain. And, you know, as a matchmaker, I'm sure you see this all the time, where a guy will think, oh, you know, she got too emotional, or, you know, she started telling me all these problems, I got turned off.
Sure, sure.
And what I, you know, help men to understand is not only when a woman feels safe and relaxed, she, one of the ways for her to cope with the stress of her day is to talk about her feelings. That's a basic chapter of Men Are From Mars. But now I can explain that the fight or flight center in a woman's brain is connected to the emotional part of the brain, which is connected to the talking part of the brain. And that reduces her stress if she can talk about problems. Whereas for men, the fight or flight center, the stress center of the brain, is directly linked to action. So when men talk, they're talking to achieve the goal of solving the problem. Men want to just solve the problem or forget the problem, whereas women's brains want to process the feelings linked to the problem and communicate it with someone. And that has its whole benefit for her physiology, which is different for males. So when men understand this, then they can start to realize that so much of the time he's saying she's making a big deal out of something. Really, he's making a big deal out of her just having a normal reaction.
Right.
And if you just, you know, ask some questions and listen, and then you could always say at the end, you know, my goodness, what a hard day you had. Let me give you a hug. Quite often, she's very happy. You know, you can also say, is there something you'd like me to, you know, to do about this, or you just want me to listen? You know, these are like communication skills that just don't occur to a man, or ways to interpret their partner that don't occur without this info. But it's so much more powerful, and it makes so much more sense when we can also understand the physiology, which is different for men and women. And there's so many examples that I've been able to glean from all the research which is being done at universities around the world.
Well, there's so much more to say on that, because it's actually something I wanted to ask you about. We have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more on this topic.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at TalkingAlternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. You're listening to Love in the Afternoon. For those of you who are just tuning in, we have distinguished author, lecturer, and relationship counselor John Gray with us today. And right before the commercial break, we were talking about the science that has really developed in the last 20 years since Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus was written. And actually, John, what I was going to say was, since I read your book in college and I took out my old copy that has yellowing pages and dusted it off and reread it, it amazed me that since as a matchmaker, I try and read everything that's out there. I read both of Dr. Luann Brizendine's book, The Male Brain, The Female Brain, a bunch of books by Helen Fisher, and I thought everything that you said has been borne out now with these MRIs and PET scans. So now you can identify in a way that you were onto 20 years ago, long before the science was there. And I was just amazed by that.
It is really fun for me. It's more fun for me because I got so much heat because people kept saying, where's your evidence? Where's your evidence? And I said, look, I listen to women talk for 8 hours a day in my counseling session. I know all the details of what goes on in relationships. And there's so much misinterpretation and misunderstanding, I could just observe it.
Well, let me ask you a question. If anyone goes to a self-help or relationship section of a bookstore, you will see, I mean, more books on this topic than you can count. It's a very, very popular genre. Obviously, yours is the best-selling in this genre, but there are so many. And my question is, our grandparents and great-great-grandparents got along without any of these books. What is the reason now, if there is, in modern society, why this is harder for people to navigate?
Well, that's such a good question, because common sense would say, hey, we've been around on this planet for a long time. Haven't we figured this out? And, yeah, we figured it out for a different world. In a sense, real short, it's like the music of the, you know, it's like we're doing dance steps together, and our culture and our religion had defined that. Little boys grew up watching what their dads did. Mothers grew up with watching, daughters grew up watching what their mothers did. Boys saw what their mothers did. These roles that men and women had, the ways of relating, had been worked out such that in many cases it worked out wonderfully. In some cases it was a disaster. But pretty much if a man had good manners and had a job, he could make a woman happy, and as long as he came home alive.
Right.
And so there wasn't the same kind of marital challenges then. They were more economic, they were more survival, and they more had to do with the character of the male and the female in regards to survival. Today, our lives have sped up. It's so much faster with the changing of roles, with women being providers, with women not having enough time, with the irony is that with all this technology, we have more time, theoretically, for leisure time. Our brains don't respond to it that way. And if you have more time, your brain speeds up and does more. And particularly women's brains, that's what we're seeing for women, is that when they're feeling more and more overwhelmed, it's a common feeling that women have, is I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time. And when you don't have enough time, that inhibits a hormone production of a hormone called oxytocin, which I write about in my recent books, and more books are being written about it, which is oxytocin's the hormone we've always known that helped women have contractions and breastfeeding. Then they discovered in the 90s that it was what allows women to have climax. Then the drug companies said, hey, let's spend a lot of money on finding out this pill out to give women an orgasm pill. But what they found out in the research is that when the body makes plenty of oxytocin, if you measure a woman's body and there's plenty of oxytocin, it will regulate her stress levels and it lowers her stress. If she runs out of oxytocin, then her stress levels tend to get higher and higher and higher. So it tends to be the number one hormone, not for men, but for women, to regulate stress levels and keep her stress levels down. There's a direct correlation between a woman's feeling of satisfaction and happiness with her stress levels. So if she's stressed, she's really not happy. And today's woman is more stressed than in previous generations because the very hormones that get produced in the work world, which have to do with urgency and emergency and, you know, deadlines, bottom lines, not enough time, regulating time in that way, inhibit the production of oxytocin. Now, this doesn't create a problem for men because men typically don't run out of oxytocin. Oxytocin is important for men. It's the love hormone. It's the trust hormone. It's the feel-good hormone. But men typically don't run out of it. For example, if a woman holds a baby, she literally releases and uses up much of her oxytocin, and it feels really good. If a man holds a baby, it doesn't feel as good, and he doesn't use up his oxytocin. So men in this world, traditionally, men didn't hold the baby, so to speak. Men didn't do the nurturing activities. They weren't involved in that world as much. They were more involved in a world of danger and uncertainty, urgency, or sacrifice doing a boring job to support your family, the people that you love. So this was a division of labor, and that's changed now. And the consequence of that, there's many good consequences of that. I think the world can be a better place as men and women join together in the workforce and in the government to make the world a better place. After all, it's men and women together that make babies. If we're going to create a birth of a new humanity, a better world, it's only going to come about as men and women come together and share responsibilities. But to do that, it's a whole new undertaking. We've never done that before. It's never happened before. There's always been the separate worlds of men and women, and now we come together more than ever before, working side by side, and it creates a huge amount of dissatisfaction in relationships. And primarily that dissatisfaction comes from women. Men then become dissatisfied in the relationship primarily because she's dissatisfied with him.
And they want to make their partners happy, and they're not accomplishing that.
That's bottom line. You know, right. For my dad, all he had to do was have a good job. He was a gentleman. Come home, and that was it. He was alive. My mother was happy with him. And if the woman is happy with the male, it's like getting a great paycheck at the end of the month for a man. But if a man is happy with a woman, if he's going, oh, my God, my wife is gorgeous, and I'm so glad I married her, and he completely ignores her, she's not happy.
Right. It doesn't work the other way around, always.
It doesn't work the other way around, and that's such a significant insight. So it's a gradual issue. You can't just go and list out to a man, these are the ways you have to change. And women kind of think, well, why not? And I say, well, here are the ways you have to change. And they kind of go, wait a second, why do I have to change?
Well, it seems like nobody wants to change. And I actually, you spoke about expectations. I was looking at some of your segments online. And I wanted to ask you about something I thought was really interesting. You said in a lecture that your wife was your soulmate because you made her your soulmate. Can you explain what you mean by that statement?
Yeah, when you sacrifice for your children, if you get up in the middle of the night for your children to feed them and care for them and whatever, you actually, the root of the word sacrifice is sacred. You make something sacred by making sacrifices for it. If you treat something as special, it becomes more and more special. It has to have an intrinsic value, which is, you know, I believe Bonnie is my soulmate. But I've met many women in my life who could have been my soulmate. To this day, I still meet women. I kind of go, wow, she's spectacular. You know, she could be a soulmate for me if the time and place was correct. But there's only room for one soulmate. And I met Bonnie 30 years ago. And so the timing, actually, when we first met, I was in love with her, but it wasn't the right timing. And we separated and went off and did other things. And then the timing changed in my life where I had a job, I had finances, I had a certain level of maturity. Then I was ready to really get married. And suddenly now two soulmates could connect. It was the time, right time, right place. So I define in my soulmate workshops, in my dating book, I talk about the soul connection is where you have a connection with someone, a chemistry. You know, we all know what physical chemistry is. You can have physical chemistry with a lot of people, but not everybody. Then you can have emotional chemistry with a lot of people where you love someone, you like them, but you don't want to have sex with them. You don't want to be married to them, but you have lots of affection with them and you care about them and they're good friends. That's another kind of chemistry. Then you have people who are often your mentors, your authors, your interesting people, who intellectually stimulate you. That's an intellectual mind chemistry. You think, wow, that person's brilliant. But again, you don't want to go home with them. But that's a kind of chemistry. So that's a physical, emotional, mental chemistry. So there's also a soul chemistry. And the soul chemistry is at the deepest level of your being, you resonate with someone. It's like your values click you have a deep sense of admiration for who this person really is and a deep sense of love. It's a real kind of unconditional love that's there, and that's a chemistry. And if you, you know, you can have soul chemistry with somebody, but which I'm saying I've found with many people, but it's not the physical, it's not, or not the emotional, or not the mental. It's sort of a deep soul chemistry, a connection that you feel like you've been here a long time together, or you'd like to be there together, like be friends for a lifetime or something, or maybe it's an author you like to read their books forever. Or, rarely does a physical chemistry last that long unless you've got the other ones. And that's what soul is. When you connect on a level of soul and you love someone, you feel like, I'll always love this person.
Well, there's so much more to say on that topic, and I want to also get to your seminar, because I understand something is coming up in March that I would love to have our listeners know about so they can take advantage of it. We have to take another quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Tried to be chill, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my best. This and nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some, but I won't.
Welcome back. You're listening to Love in the Afternoon with Marnie Gallison. We have our guest today, John Gray, on, and we are talking about people's needs, expectations in their relationships, what makes for lasting partnership. And John, before the commercial break, we were talking about your seminars, which I want to get to, but I have a quick question for you. I was looking through your Facebook fan page, and it looked like you respond to pretty much every request for advice that someone poses to you. And I was wondering, one, do you ever sleep? And two, do you ever sometimes feel like you need a break from giving relationship advice? Do you ever feel like you just need to get away?
Oh, I think it looks like it's more than it is, but I do. I am dedicated to my fans. I'm dedicated to my readers. I'm dedicated to my clients. I love doing this. You know, I think it's part of discovering what you're here for in this world. It's a slippery slope, I guess. Once you know what you're supposed to be doing in this world, you connect with your authentic self. then when you do your work, you feel fulfilled. You have a tremendous amount of energy. You have clarity. And if I don't do my work, I suffer enormously. I become depressed. So it's kind of interdependent.
It's good for you to keep busy then.
You have to keep busy. You know, I'm 60 now. I have a friend, and she's 82. And she just loves to interact with me. We're like soulmates on another level. And as I'm talking about soulmates, it's someone who brings out the best in you, and a sense of purpose and mission.
Do you feel? Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Do you feel that your wife expects perfection? I mean, you're the guru of all gurus on how to have a happy marriage and relationship advice. Do you feel like you almost have to now follow your advice 100% to a T, and if you don't, you might just get called out on it?
Oh, it's not exactly that way. Where she's just a wonderful woman, like any other woman who has needs and expectations in relationship. It doesn't go up because I'm the relationship expert, I don't think. I think often my own defensiveness goes up because I feel like I do so much more than any other guy does.
Sure, I can imagine.
But she says I get A+ in relationship. I think she'd give me an A for most of the time, sometimes A+. But I get A+ for being a parent for my kids, for sure.
And I know you have three daughters, and I actually also want to talk about one of your daughters following in your footsteps. But just talking about your advice and your happy marriage, I know that I actually didn't know this until you were coming on the program, that you are still doing seminars all over the world, and I saw you're heading to Sweden and Norway in a little bit over a week, and then you'll be back in the States in San Francisco for a seminar March 23rd through 25th. And I was just curious, that's 3 days of a seminar. Tell us about the seminar so any of our listeners in California or nearby can possibly take advantage of it.
Or even in New York, people travel from all around the country to come. It's like the ultimate getaway. We hold it at the Cavallo Point Hotel, which is a resort right on the San Francisco Bay. It's the best resort in the whole area, and it's not that expensive relative to other places. You overlook the bay, the Golden Gate Bridge, the city. It's in Marin County. It's beautiful. So that's first thing, is I like to be in the most beautiful places. So couples can come or singles can come. Sometimes women will come together as friends, even if their husbands won't come. It's like girls' weekend. It's a tremendous getaway. They've got a fantastic spa there. It's not like all concentrated seminar the whole time. We start Friday in the evening, and we do the whole evening. Then Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon till dinner time, and then Sunday till about 2 o'clock. We have meals there. It's really a spectacular course, and I talk about, what's nice about it is lots of personal anecdotes of the challenges that I have faced in my own marriage with my soulmate, as well as how to find a soulmate, the challenges in terms of picking the right person for you, the challenges in ending relationships that aren't right for you. You know, these are the kind of things that I can tell in a seminar where you have anecdotes and people can ask questions, as well as leading people through a series of exercises where I teach them relationship skills to continue bringing out the best of your partner, because that's the potential of a soulmate, is you can bring out the best in them and they can bring out the best in you. But it's not guaranteed. The person who can bring out the best in you can also bring out the worst in you. That's the double-edged sword. It's like once you know your mission and purpose in life, if you're not doing it, you're depressed. If you're doing it, you have super energy and super clarity and super fulfillment. But you got to keep putting out that energy. Same thing in a relationship. If you do not have the skills to pull out the best in your partner, then you end up getting the worst of that person. People often joke, my partner knows all the buttons to push in me. That's because we all have that vulnerability. When you're having sex and you open your heart to someone, you have the ability to bring out ecstasy or the opposite, and it can be a living hell. So people at all stages of relationship are there. Some are thinking about getting divorced. Some are just a great relationship. They love my books, and they're going to have a fun weekend together. Other people are, in the dating process, wanting to figure out, what am I doing wrong or what am I doing right or how do I make sure this is the right person. So I deal with all those, situations. And there's some people who don't even want to have a relationship with somebody in the opposite sex. But they've read my books on, how do you manage stress effectively in your life and use the quality of your relationships to do that. So I cover that as well.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If we want to sustain a relationship, we need to know how to make ourselves happy first. And that's a big part of my soulmate seminar, which is I just saw, for example, in Wall Street Journal, the relationship killer. Somebody wrote a book on complaining. You know, just don't nag and complain, and your relationships will be great. And, you know, I haven't read the book, so I have to do fairness, but what the article gave was no good advice. You know, just to stop complaining, if, you know, it means that you don't have the power to motivate your partner to change. It's find a new way to motivate your partner, which is, you know, how to change every complaint into a request, but also how to communicate so that you understand your partner's needs so you can meet those needs. There's, you know, and also the challenge here is like a paradox for women. You know, I tell women, if you complain, you destroy relationships. However, but if you don't share what's going on inside of you, if you feel you can't be intimate with your partner by letting them know what your feelings are, then the intimacy goes away, the passion goes away. So, you know, just giving up complaining can also mean giving up sharing whatever's going on inside of you. And the consequence there is that your passion and your sex, you got 3 or 4 years and that's it. And it's kind of like boring and routine after that, if you have it at all.
Sure, and there's so much to say on the topics you mentioned, because I know a lot of your work is about motivating the opposite sex and understanding what motivates men, understanding what motivates women. It's not always the same. I just want to add for our listeners who would want to take advantage of this March 23rd through 25th Soulmate Seminar, whether you're in California, New York, or anywhere else in the country, John Gray's organization, I was delighted to hear, has been so generous to offer to any of our listeners a half-price discount on the seminar if you mention that you referred to from this program. So his wonderful business director, Halina Pupka, you can email directly, events@marsvenus.com, or just go to the Mars Venus website, marsvenus.com, and you can learn much more about it. But that was extremely generous, and we're very grateful for that discount. We have to take another quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Hi, I'm Carol Ward from the Body Mind Wellness Program. Listen to my show for ideas and information to help you live a healthier life in body, mind, and spirit. You'll hear from terrific guests who are experts in the areas of health, wellness, and creativity. So join me every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkingAlternative.com. Professionals serving community.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Love in the Afternoon with Marnie Gallison, and we're back with our guest, John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and many other bestsellers, 16 other bestsellers on the dating and relationship topic. Now, if you would like to learn more about John's seminars or any of his other work, you can feel free to go to marsvenus.com. But I'd love to talk, John, a little bit about some New York-centric questions, because I am based here in Manhattan, and I saw one of your recent video blogs on your site that you were recently in New York. I'm not quite sure when that video blog was created, and you said you were bombarded with questions from women about why men won't commit. And I thought your answer was really interesting. It wasn't what I expected. And or on some levels it was, but on some levels it was not. And for the listeners who have not had a chance to listen to that link yet, I would love for you to share your thoughts on this topic, especially in regard to New York.
Well, tell me what was surprising to you first, so I can zoom in on that.
Well, I thought your answer about waiting to have sexual intercourse, I thought was interesting, and I think it's 100%. I just had a conversation with a client of mine that I would like to direct her to your link now, because it answered it so perfectly. But I was expecting a little bit more of the psychology of choice, some of that maybe as a basis, which I know it was a very quick video blog. You could talk probably all 3 days on this topic, so you have to make it palatable in a video blog. But the real focus was on the abundance of sexual activity, really, in New York, and the changing power structure of men and women. And you said a little bit that maybe your advice was admittedly old-fashioned, which isn't always in vogue these days, but it still has, it's right on point. So that was the part that I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I just see it as such a turnaround of the dynamic. Because what's happening now is, in terms of college graduates, two women to every man. And college graduates are scooped up to be in all the professions. And so I've watched, in all my trips to New York and my trips to L.A. and the professional world, when I do my professional business, so to speak, I see just dramatically more women who are getting the jobs and less men. And what that means is that suddenly the power structure in terms of income is primarily women. And these women are looking for men of equal financial status or more. And this has always been traditionally the way relationships were, is that if you look at the physiology of relationships, is that women have a physiological imperative. Their body is preparing to make a baby every month. Whether they are or not, their body is. And at that time, there's certain hormonal shifts that take place. When you are fertile, for example, your serotonin levels will dip, which cause you to feel like I depend on someone else. Now, I know that there's a battle in there, but there's a place of nature set aside this feeling of vulnerability inside of women to happen every month, so that they would need a man who'd come along and make her pregnant. And so there's these shiftings in hormones that do occur for women today. So that's the first thing, which is that, you have this dance between men and women, and it used to be that the women were not so open to having sex unless the men were pursuing them. Suddenly now you have all these other women, these women who are pursuing men because they're looking for men. The whole idea of women marrying up was because a woman's imperative is she could get pregnant at any time, and she needed a man to be able to provide for her during that time of vulnerability. With the advent of birth control, women can postpone that or eliminate that, so they're not getting pregnant. So intellectually they go, I don't have to depend on a man. But physiologically, there's a part of her that does depend on a man, and there's not enough men. She's looking for someone who could take care of her at a time to the standard of living that she's living now, and there's not, those men don't exist. Actually, the numbers have dramatically dropped. So this means a shortage of men. When there's a shortage of men, suddenly the tables turn and women are pursuing men. And very few of us men had to fend off women as we're growing up. It's like women have lots of practice saying no to sex, for example, but men don't. Give me an opportunity, I'll jump in bed, is kind of the male attitude. And so what happens is men do not bond with women. When a man pursues a woman and he feels that he's, in a sense, won her over, that he did something to please her, and her sexual response is a response to him doing something to please her, then there's a bonding that can occur. If there's no bonding that occurs, it was a pleasurable experience, but not to be repeated. There's no necessity to repeat it. You know, I have a friend, for example, and he gets, you know, maybe he's always got a list of 10 or 20 women who want to go out on a date with him. And his basic requirement, he's in his 50s, he's 56 years old, and he's got a job and he's got a house. And just having a job and a house suddenly puts him on the level of, you know, women wanting to be with him. So he doesn't have to do anything. It's all easy, and there's no bonding that occurs. If a man feels like, okay, I have to compete with other males to achieve, you know, the fulfillment of this woman, I have to do something to earn it, so to speak, then he will bond. And without that, if it's too easy, he just doesn't bond. So it's much harder for men to commit.
Sure. You know, it's interesting. A very good guy I know, and he really is a good guy, said to me a few years ago, after I sleep with a woman, I like her just a little bit less. And I was surprised to hear that statement. And he's not a, you know, a Romeo or a Don, you know, a player guy. But what he was really saying was, after I sleep with a woman who I haven't bonded with, I like her just a little bit less. He might not even know that he was thinking, and that was what he was saying. But really, that's what you're saying. And I think it was phrased so well in this video blog, because when people ask me, how long should I wait till I have sex with somebody? You know, you can't say 3 dates, 10 dates, you know, 2 months. Those are sort of arbitrary guidelines. It really, what you've said is the heart of the issue, is once you've bonded. And only you can, you know, that's each person's unique situation. You can't answer that for somebody else until they feel that security and that bond. So,
And here's another dynamic. You phrase that wonderfully, wonderfully. Because it's always people are saying, how long should I wait? How long should I wait? And my answer is, I can't tell you. You know, what I can tell you is that he has to feel a bond with you before you go that direction, A, or you have to feel that it's something that you really, really want, and it's not in order to keep him, and it's not in order to please him. That's another trap that women get into today. Like I was interviewing some of the women in New York, for example, that we're referring to. You know, I said, well, why did you have sex with them the first night? And she said, well, that's what they want. That's what they want. And I said, so what if you were to say no? Well, then, you know, he wouldn't want to be with me. So that's a false assumption. See, there's this thing of, sure, I'm going to have sex because I might lose him if I don't, is the worst reason to have sex. Because what happens then is he has sex with you before you're wanting to have sex. And so if you're not wanting to have sex, it's not going to be a fantastic experience for you. And then afterwards, he's going to go, well, it wasn't much of a fantastic experience for her. And as a result, he goes, I guess I didn't do much for her. See, men bond with a woman based upon, wow, look, I did that.
A feeling of accomplishment, you know.
Yeah, that feeling of her orgasm is his,
sure,
as naive as that is, okay? But still, a man feels that her delight and her pleasure and her orgasm, he's responsible. And so when he is responsible for that, because I can be, you know, if I take my wife out to dinner and I'm affectionate to her and I'm complimenting her and I'm prioritizing her, her hormones start getting generated from my behavior, so I get to take credit for that. That is a solid bond. But if she's just wanting to have sex, I'm not talking about my wife now, but a woman who's, you know, with a guy out on a date and she thinks, well, he's an interesting guy, you know, I certainly don't want to lose him, so if he wants to have sex, I'll say yes. You're actually sabotaging the potential of a future relationship with him. So that's another aspect of it, is a woman shouldn't have sex with a man until she's bonded with him to the extent where her body is saying, I want to have sex.
So it needs to be there on both sides.
Yeah, it needs to be on both sides, because then what happens is if you have sex with a man that you're not bonded to and who's not bonded to you, well, look at that one, if he's not bonded to you, the outcome of that is there is, you know, if you do get the physical stimulation to have a climax, and you have a climax, then you do, in a sense, sexually bond to him, but he doesn't necessarily bond to you. And that bonding is the big, huge release of oxytocin. You're now physically bonded to a male who may not even like you, who has no interest in being with you in the future, and that creates a very sort of imbalance inside of a woman where she feels very needy. And most women have had that experience that, you know, when is he going to call, and does he like me, does he want me? All this insecurity that comes up after having sex, and I'm not saying every woman's this way, but this is quite common, where that insecurity comes up, and that is a symptom of neediness. And I'm telling you, men can smell the neediness from miles off, and they won't have nothing to do with it. It's just
they run. They run as far as they can get.
Yeah.
We have to take one more commercial break, and we'll be right back with John Gray.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back. We have John Gray as our guest today, and unfortunately, we only have a few more minutes of our program. And just in these last few minutes, John, I'd love to ask you two questions. First, I was wondering if you've ever been approached or asked, to do any research or write about same-sex relationships and how that would factor in the advice that you give. Has that ever been brought to your, you know, attention?
Oh, certainly.
Sure.
I live in the Bay Area.
Yes.
We have a lot of same-sex relationships, and many of them come to my seminars, my soulmate seminar, because it's in the Bay Area. What I focus on in my speaking, and you know, everything I speak about typically comes from my own personal experience. So I don't have a lot of anecdotes of my own personal experience of a gay lifestyle because I don't have that. At the same time, the message is quite universal. It's definitely heterosexual specific because of so many more of the examples are there. But many of the examples are universal in terms of how men and women can understand each other better. If it's two gay women or two gay men, they're relating to that and they're making sense of themselves. You know, this is the irony, is that, you know, when people take my seminars on gender differences, they often walk out of the seminar and they're saying, you know, I now know more about myself. I know about my partner, but I know about myself. And you know, self-reflection is something I spent my life doing, you know, reflecting on myself as a male, the male parts of me, the female parts of me, the female parts of women and male parts of women. So to be able to identify those factors helps us tremendously. And quite often in a gay relationship, what happens is a polarity sets up, because the male-female energies in Asia, for example, in Taoist philosophies and ancient philosophies and Hindu philosophies, it's the male and female principle. And as men, we're the embodiments of the male principle, but we have the female in us. It's called the yin and the yang, the Shiva and the Shakti, that kind of a thing. And this male and female principle, it benefits anyone to identify those two parts of you so that you can make sure that you're nurturing those two sides of you, particularly you nurture, if you're a man, you nurture the male side of you basically by what you do for yourself. And so understanding those things I need to do for myself. Women particularly nurture their female side of them by doing things for themselves and to understand what those things are, to validate what those things are, that then understand if I'm not sleeping well, if I have anxiety, if I'm feeling depression, what are some of the female ways to help combat that? If you're male, if you're experiencing lack of motivation, ADD, ADHD, depression, impotency, any of those things, what are the things I can do for myself that will correct that problem? You know, there's a different answer for men than for women. Whether you're gay or straight, it's straight or gay, it's the same answer. If you're a woman, you're a woman. Your hormones are capable of making a baby. If you're a man, your hormones are necessary for that male body and the way the male makes babies. So those hormones are and directly related to our health, to our self-esteem, to our awareness. And so that's a lot of what my message is. It's just understanding men, understanding women, and it transcends whether you're in a heterosexual relationship or a gay relationship.
Got it. Okay, I have one more minute, I think, but I would be remiss, being that I have the relationship expert of all time, and I'm a matchmaker here in New York, to not at least mention Valentine's Day, which is less than 2 weeks away. And in our final segment, I think of your point system when I think about Valentine's Day and how men sometimes can drop the ball, even if because they don't believe in this holiday, or they call it a Hallmark holiday, but their partner does, and it can be a day of great romance or of great disappointment. Any advice you would give to our male listeners today on what to do or what not to do on this coming February 14th?
This is advice to male listeners. You've got 2 weeks. Now's the time to act. Now's the time to act. The more you can plan something, the more points you get. This is a special day for her. Regardless of what you think about it, this is something important to women because special occasions are more important to women than they are to men. Special occasions stimulate this hormone oxytocin. You can get a lot of mileage out of this and avoid a lot of disappointment. If you plan something, you get a card or you write something. So there needs to be a verbal communication of expression of love and appreciation. Very simple, but written down. Women like written down. Or somebody else wrote it down, you just sign your name to the card. So that's important. Get some flowers or pick some flowers or get something nice and beautiful to give to her. And plan something. If you have no money, you can plan a walk in the park, just the two of you with no cell phones on. And also what you can do, if you do have a little money, is you say to her 2 weeks in advance, 1 week in advance, I'm wanting to make sure this is a special occasion, so I want to know a few things that you would like to do. What would feel good to you? You don't have to be a mind reader. Go and ask her a few things that she would like. Then you can say, all right, I'm going to surprise you. And you pick one of those things so that you make sure it's something she would like. So this
Perfect.
Is realistic romance.
Absolutely. Planning and communication. Thank you so much for coming on our program today. You were a wonderful guest, and I really appreciate it. For all of our listeners, MarsVenus.com. You can get more information on the upcoming seminar in San Francisco, March 23rd to March 25th. John, wishing you and your wife a wonderful Valentine's Day and a wonderful 2012.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please tune in on Mondays at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Tune in as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off right with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, I'm Julie.
Hi, I'm Julia.
What are you wearing? Welcome to J&J's Secrets of Style and Beauty.
We know there is beauty and style in all you do, whether it's a job interview,
first date,
or wedding. We also know that not everyone understands what works best for him or her.
We're here to help. Think of us as your personal beauty, style, and grooming gurus. As industry experts, we'll give you the best information for men and women on how to look phenomenal.
Tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
to learn how to look your best.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.